All right, John chapter 12, and let's continue through our lesson here. John 12, down through 29, verse 29, down through verse 40, and then we'll back up and continue where we left off last week. But starting in verse 29, the people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spoke to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abides forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light." These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, "Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." All right, so just real quick review of what we talked about last week. We looked at three truths that we're covering in this passage. It's time for the judgment of this world. It's time for when the prince of the world would be driven out. And then it's time for Jesus to be lifted up, was kind of the consensus. We left off with number three last week, where kind of got down to the end. And who is this Son of Man thought? So we said the Jews believed that the Messiah would come to reign, and his reign is eternal. All right, so they do believe that. They just didn't believe that Jesus was the fulfillment of those prophecies. And so we went back and we looked at prophecies in the Old Testament leading to that. And the problem was the Jews could not put together the belief of the crucifixion with an eternal kingdom. And so they struggled with how their Savior, their Messiah, could die or would have to die. Because they couldn't understand that he could return, that he would come back, that he could still reign eternally if he was crucified, if he was dead. And so they overlooked all the passages that we looked at last week or at the end of class that indicated that the Messiah would suffer, that he would be the suffering Lamb of God. So the Jews complete their discussion here and they say, "Who is this Son of Man?" And the interesting thing is that, you know, Christ or John, however you want to portray this, you know, John recording the events of Jesus' ministry, you know, that Jesus had already answered that question through his ministry and throughout the time that he had spent with them. And so, you know, they should have known, and we have mentioned that time and time again, you know, that if they had been in tune or had been attentive, if they had really known their scriptures and whatever, that it would have been easier for them maybe to follow along and figure out who Jesus was. But again, they're still asking, "Who is this Son of Man?" And I, you know, from this point forward, this is kind of the tipping point in John, where he goes from listing, you know, the things that Jesus did to now, you know, going into the Passion Week and that last little bit that Jesus is on this earth. But so in order to answer the question, "Who is the Son of Man?" Let's think, where does Jesus affirm that he is the Son of Man or even the Son of God? You know, if we want to even put that, because, you know, Jesus, again, uses the term Son of Man often. And the people heard that, and there have been other times where they questioned him about that. And so who can think of some times in John, and I'll lead you through, because I know sometimes you know, I didn't give you a heads up and let you think about this ahead of time. So I don't want to put you too much on the spot. But just, you know, can anyone think of something off the top of your head where Jesus refers to himself as Son of Man or Son of God? Either one. Okay, John 9, correct? All right, so John 9, he says in verse 35, Jesus heard they cast him out, and he found him, and he said, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" All right, and then what does the man say? He goes, "I don't even know who that is." You know, he said, I think I'd believe on him if I knew who he was. And so Jesus said, it's me. You know, so he's revealing that to him. All right, so we have an instance here where it was one individual that he's telling that to. Anybody think of another situation? Debbie? All right, John 10:36. The Jews, or Jesus is with the Jews. So it's not just like him one-on-one with somebody. He's speaking to the crowds in John 10. And he says, "Say you of him whom the Father has sanctified or set apart and said into the word, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God." So Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, and then the Jews took him to task for that. And, you know, they accused him of blasphemy. You know, so they heard it, they just rejected it. They didn't believe. Lauren? John. Okay, John 3 with Nicodemus a couple different times. In verse 13, he refers to himself as the Son of Man. Verse 14, again, as Moses is lifted up, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. John 3:18, a little bit farther, he says, "He that believes on him is not condemned. He that believes not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Which one?
Matthew 8:20.
Okay, going back into Matthew, which is fine.
Speaking with the scribes.
Okay, speaking with the scribes and Pharisees there.
Right, he says, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head."
Okay. All right.
14:6.
Okay, sticking in John a little bit farther. Let me see if I have that one. John 14:6. What's he say there? Do you have it?
Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me."
Okay. All right. So just, he was, didn't use the specific term Son of Man or Son of God, but saying that he was the only way to the Father ever.
John 10:30, and just before that he's talking about my sheep. And in 29 says, "My Father who has given me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch him out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one."
All right. Okay. Jordan?
13:31.
Okay. Over 13:31. Read that one for me, Jordan. All right. Who is he talking to there? Do you know? All right, to the disciples in that situation. All right, what are some other areas where he was speaking to more than just maybe the disciples or an individual? Because, you know, I know we looked in John 11, and these are just things I pulled out. You know, John 11, you know, Martha says, "I believe that thou art the Son of God." But again, that was kind of one-on-one. I'm trying to draw the parallel where the crowd is saying, or the Jews are saying, you know, who is the Son of Man? Where, okay, if they've been paying attention and listening for the last, you know, 3 years, Jesus told them, he referred to himself as that. They should have understood that. You know, John 5:27, Jesus is speaking to the Jews. What happened in John 5? Remember, he healed somebody. The lame man. Somebody say lame. The lame man at the pool of Bethesda. And he says, that God has given him authority to execute judgment. Why? Because he is the Son of Man. You know, that he is able to do that. John 5:25, he said, "The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Okay, so again, speaking to a crowd, speaking to more than just one or two people there. John 6, right? What was the big emphasis in John 6? Big crowd, feeding of the 5,000, right? And after that, he's speaking to the crowd, and he says, you know, because the crowd's now coming back to him and saying, "Hey, we want more food. You know, this was good. You know, we had free meals. Give us another one." You know, And what does he say? He says, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for the meat that endures unto eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. And then a little bit farther down, he says, in verse 53, he says, truly, truly, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And of course, we know what happened after that. Many of them left because that was too much. That was too great for them to comprehend. And, even a little farther down in verse 62, he says to his disciples, he says, what if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? All right. And that was right after many of them turned back. You know, and he asked the 12, he said, are you going to leave me too? You know, and they said, well, where are we going to go? And then he says, what if you see me ascend back up? What are you going to do? Another good passage, John 8:28, because he's talking specifically to the Jews. And Jesus said to them, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. So it's not new. It's not anything that they haven't heard before. We can jump into John 19, verse 7. It says, the Jews answered Pilate, and they said, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die. And why? Because he's made himself what? The Son of God. it was like, that there was a great disconnect there. Because they're telling Pilate, he needs to die because he said he's the Son of God. He made himself the Son of God, so he needs to die. But when Jesus says, I'm the Son of Man, I'm the Son of God, that they still, well, who is that? We don't really get it. Why do you keep saying that? Our law says, you need to be killed because you're saying that. But the fact was, is that they, again, the majority of them failed to believe. And we'll see as we get down into chapter 12 a little more that it wasn't all that disbelieved, because there were several that did believe. And it says they kept that secret. And we'll talk about that a little more as we get into that. They weren't able to, or they didn't have the courage to stand up and acknowledge their belief in him. Whether it was fear of getting cast out of the temple or persecution or whatever, but at that point, it says they believed, but they were afraid to come forward, and they didn't have the boldness to do that yet. And we would think maybe perhaps that changes in a little while, but we'll look at that. So then in verse 35 and 36, Jesus says, the light is among you a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. So how does Jesus answer the crowd? Because again, if you're looking, the end of verse 34, who is the Son of Man? Then Jesus says to them, then he starts talking about the light. So does he really answer their question the way they wanted him to? All right, no, not the way he wanted him to. So does Jesus, again, think back through the first 11 chapters, has Jesus been in the habit of answering the crowd's questions the way they want him to?
No.
He answers in parables. He, hears the question, then he talks about a truth. Where again, if they had discretion, that they would be able to put these things together. Because again, what did they say? Who is the Son of Man? And then what does Jesus come back with? The light's among you. I'm the light. Walk in the light. He'd already had said, I'm the light of the world. A city set on the hill can't be, the light there and all that. He says, walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. And so he's talking about himself and trying to answer their question, who is the Son of Man, without coming right out and going, hello, it's me. But, you know, he's answering them, but they don't have the discretion to put that together.
Well, first of all, John was the one that was the original testimony. So Jesus had that going before him.
Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
And then Jesus told the disciples that he spoke in parables and he spoke these things because those that were blinded would not see, but those that were open to the Holy Spirit would understand.
Right, so which John repeats again here from Isaiah.
Which is what Jesus had intended all along, is that those that really were looking for the Messiah or for the Savior would recognize in what he had done and what he was saying, who he was, but as we know from later on in the scriptures in Corinthians, it tells us that the God of this age is blinded in the mind. He's doing it today, and he did it then.
I was going to say, I mean, it's really, it's no different than today.
That's right.
Yeah, because what does scripture say? It says that anyone that's seeking the truth, anyone that's seeking him, he'll no wise cast out. So it's the same for the Jews in Jesus' day when he walked among them. If they were seeking, if they wanted to know him and wanted to know the truth, then they received the truth. You know, God gave them the ability, or they saw the truth, whatever, and the same today. You know, there is no one that wanting a relationship with God, wanting to be restored in their fellowship with God, that God says, no, not you.
I think it's kind of, I guess you'd say, ironic that all of the Gospels are to reveal who Jesus is in particular ways. And it's interesting how that the writers of the Gospels did place a lot of emphasis on those that rejected him, those that didn't understand, those that turned away or went away. And yet, if you look periodically, you will see where it says that many of the leaders or some of the temple leaders or some of the priests believed on him. And even in the Acts, when Paul went to the town of Corinth, he always went into the areas where there were the synagogues.
Right.
And when, maybe it wasn't, I forget which one. One of the cities that he went into, that they chased him out of the synagogue, but then they went to a house next door, and that says that one of the synagogue leaders then came to believe.
Yes.
So what you're saying is, when they want to understand, when they want to hear the truth, when a person wants to know, God opens their heart and their mind.
Right. Good. All right, so as was normal for Christ, he didn't answer the question directly. He encouraged them, to believe the light, to walk in the light. And as we've gone through, Jesus always pointed people to the truth. Rather than getting, you know, trying to get into argument, trying to get into discussions that weren't real helpful or things that are just going to prolong an argument, you know, he just went back to the truth and just went back to, this is what you need to do. You know, I'm not really going to answer this because, again, it can just stir up trouble. It's just going to, you know, it's kind of back, you know, a few chapters earlier with the Jews. You know, they, you know, ask him a question, he answers, they answer, you know, they come back, and they just kind of bounce the ball back and forth. There was really nothing, you know, I got to be careful here, but, you know, nothing really came out of that, other than the fact that Jesus presented truth to them and they continued to reject it. But, you know, it wasn't like he won them over. You know, it wasn't like, well, you know, if you just keep talking and keep sharing, you know, you'll win them over to yourself. You know, sometimes we just need to restate truth, and we don't really argue. You know, we don't get into that discussion. You know, we follow Christ's example and just state the truth, and, you know, not get into it with them. Where else does John refer to Christ as the light? All right, because Jesus says, you know, walk in the light. And believe in the light so that you can be children of light. Has Jesus said this previously? Okay, obviously I think somebody said earlier, you know, I am the light of the world. So we know that one. Where else? Anybody remember any other verse? All right, let's go all the way back to John 1, because we see it four times. Okay, if we go back into John 1, verse 5. In verse what? Of John 1? Okay. What translation are you? Are you ESV?
No.
Okay. NIV. Okay. Which is fine. You know, in verse 3, I have all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. But it fits well. In him was life. The life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. John wasn't. But he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Has anybody ever seen anything interesting in verse 9? I know that was a long, long time ago, but that was the true light that does what? He lights every man that comes into the world. How does he do that? Okay. What?
With his word.
Rachel? All right, the Holy Spirit. Okay, gives breath to you when you're born.
Well, salvation is available to every man.
All right. And what else are we told in Scripture? How is salvation, or how is a Savior, how is God revealed to everyone? All right, at least through creation. Good. All right, through the creation. And I think there is, that light that is within every individual when they're born, that they recognize at some point, that there is a God. And then they decide, am I going to pursue that light, or am I going to reject that light? And as they pursue, then I think they are given more light, or God begins working with them more and more to bring them, to draw them to himself. And when if they reject it, then, at some point that is rejection. In verse 11, he came unto his own received him not. All right, so we see that. John 3, verse 18. He that believes not on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that what? That light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And then quickly, I know the bell rang, chapter 8, verse 12. It says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And then lastly, John 9, 4 and 5. I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night comes when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And then we see it again in John 12. So next week, I want to look at the flip side of that. I want to kind of focus on the darkness side, four types of darkness and rejection that we see in these passages as well. And we'll look at that next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for bringing folks first and foremost to you. And then thank you for doing a work and bringing them to Berean as well. Thank you that you work in different ways to bring those to your church that you would have here. And I ask that you would continue to give guidance and wisdom in the days ahead. And thank you for working. I pray that you would bless the service to follow, bless our service this evening and the week ahead. Our fall festival Wednesday night, may it be a blessing to many families and children. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.